So this session is all about reflective journals and portfolios. Now, this is a really, really important thing. If you are doing an apprenticeship, this is a really important concept. If you are looking to get on in your career, this is a really important concept for anybody, really, who is in a commercial sense looking to develop relationships, influence others, look good in front of your line manager and your peers, and really get a sense, I guess, of the value that you're bringing to your work, as well as potentially private life as well. Reflective journals and portfolios, something that I think all of us in many ways can do a lot more of and can become a lot better at. So what we're going to explore as we go through this will be a host of little tips and techniques that are going to allow us to keep a reflective journal, really develop really good habits of building a portfolio around that journal, and really kind of understanding the value that this is going to bring to our personal and professional development. Now, these as a concept, really, when you start thinking about, okay, taking time for reflection, taking a few moments out to build a portfolio of the kind of things that you're most proud of, the things that are going to resonate most with the people you're communicating with and influencing and maybe leading. Taking that time and that pause and reflection from everyday, very busy, very hectic lifestyles that we're all leading in these days is going to really, really help you to develop this self-awareness, to be able to learn from mistakes at the same time as showcasing your accomplishments. Now, for me, that's a really nice thing. It is this balance, showcasing your accomplishments and also learning from your mistakes. So if ever there was an opportunity here for continuous personal improvement, it is using these two concepts, reflective journaling and creation and building of a constantly fueled new and developed portfolio. These two things really kind of work hand in hand to enable you to really, really be a better person on the other side and to showcase those really, really good things. Now, if you are on an apprenticeship, if you are doing any form of sort of professional qualification, this is almost your kind of staple diet, if you like, as you go through the journey of developing your skills, your knowledge, and the behaviors that you're looking to showcase. So when it comes to the endpoint assessment, whatever that form that might take, be it a professional qualification where you need to do an exam or an assignment, or in the case of an apprenticeship where you need to have, amongst other things, a presentation with a questions and answers session and or a professional discussion, which for some people makes them feel quite anxious entering into that sort of a scenario. But if you are then backing that up with a reflective journal that's been carefully crafted over a period of time and a portfolio that showcases the knowledge, skills and behaviors that you'd really like to have in your kind of almost master showreel, then you are going to be very, very well equipped. So that is what we are going to be talking about here. So let's begin at the beginning. So let's think about, first of all, the benefits of keeping a reflective journal. So we talked a little bit there about developing self-awareness. Now, this is something that really comes through from a reflective journal. You really can't be self-aware and mindful about yourself and really kind of appreciate the value that you're bringing unless you give yourself enough time and space to be able to reflect. So when we talk about journaling, this is not something that really should, in the best possible sense, be something that you kind of squeeze into a little 5-minute slot at the end of your day when you're really tired, you just want to get on to the next thing or finish work or just go home or whatever. This is something that needs to have fully respected and quality time. So developing self-awareness from a reflective journal requires you to give yourself space. So that reflection point is really, really important. And it will then, just by the nature of going through that process, enable you to develop more kind of emotional intelligence, because you won't actually be just seeing the what, you'll be understanding the why and the how. Why did that happen? How did that come about? Well, it's because I'm reflecting on the scenario, the situation or the context. So rather than just jumping, between things, activities, campaigns, and sort of the busy, hectic agenda, it's giving you the space to develop that self-awareness of, why did I react in that moment? How did I behave differently this time than last time? Why was that the case? So you begin to build this really deeper level of understanding of yourself as you go forward. What it also does, it enables you to see the bigger picture, and this will emerge from the detail. There's something fascinating that actually happens when you begin to keep a reflective journal, that you begin to see this larger kind of picture and context emerge from the detail. And you'll get a number of moments where you'll think, oh, yes. And that little light bulb moment was, oh, now I understand. Now I see how the pieces of the jigsaw are fitting together to give this bigger picture. And so from the detail emerges a broader context and a broader understanding. Of course, you can only get that if you enable yourself or give yourself the beauty and the value of this special time that you're setting aside. Clearly, it's going to another benefit is going to be that it will identify areas for your own improvement and enable you to set goals, not just these kind of whimsical goals of, oh, I have this dream, I'm going to set a goal against it, but proper, tangible, smart goals that enable you to move from where you are today to a point in the future, providing that evidence and that kind of, I guess, gravitas to the goal setting that you do. So these aren't just pie in the sky ideas. These are going to be things based on a deep reflection of the reality, but also maybe some stretch targets that you see emerging from this reflection. It will undoubtedly improve your critical thinking and problem-solving skills, because once you start analyzing, once you start reflecting, once you start spending time with issues and challenges and just allowing and enabling the broader kind of mindset that you have, so some of the more sort of subconscious elements of your brain, some of the more kind of intuitive ideas that, let's face it, most of us don't really use that much on a day-to-day basis. We're often working from the head rather than working from the heart. Well, as soon as you start building a reflective journal and start journaling this, it enables that critical thinking part of your brain. It enables your heart to be heard and your intuition can come to the fore. And often this will enhance your creativity and your innovative skills. So you will be coming up with new ideas and you think, where did that idea come from? Well, it came from yourself, giving yourself permission to create a reflection on a situation or a scenario, and then you can build on it. And it is amazing that once you build this habit of reflective journaling, it becomes super easy. And just by its very nature, it's going to be boosting your confidence, boosting creativity, boosting ultimately your self-esteem, because you think, hold on a minute, if I join all of this together, if I actually spend some quality time just reflecting, quality time quietly with myself, just enabling these ideas, this creativity and innovation to flourish and to flow, well, anything is possible. And so those who actively, reflectively journal, and there's a lot of research behind this that says, you know, most of the very successful people on this planet are people who reflect and who journal as part of really, really great daily habits. And you will find that your self-esteem and confidence in any scenario or situation that you might encounter will begin to improve as a result of doing this. And even if you are super successful, super confident, you know, really living the life that you want, you know, reflecting on those things and how did I actually get here? How did I manifest this world around me, this career, this job, these prospects? Well, it was through reflectively journaling and spending time understanding the why behind everything that you encounter. So getting to the heart of the what is a key thing in this particular episode, in this particular journey. So there are steps to doing this. Let's get into some of the actual how do I do it, because by this point you're probably thinking, well, it sounds like quite a nice thing. I'd actually rather like a little piece of this. So Neil, can you tell me something a little bit about how I start to plot out a reflective journal? Okay, so first thing, and I've said this a couple of times already, set aside some scheduled time, quiet time for reflection. So this isn't when you are busy. This is not time you're going to squeeze in. This is quality time that probably has a little bit of space before and after for you to, decompress from a certain situation, your daily working life, and then actually then afterwards to build yourself up and get back into the real world. So it probably needs a little bit of a buffer. So the time isn't 5 minutes squeezed in. It might be 20 minutes, but I'm going to give myself 5 minutes on either side. So let's call that half an hour, 5 minutes to decompress, 20 minutes to reflect, 5 minutes to then get back into the real world. Also, as we start to capture the ideas, because very quickly when you do this, they will start to flow. Deciding on the format that you are going to create your reflective journal in is really important, and there is no right or wrong. So some people will go for a paper version, so a non-digital version. By that, I could mean anything from keeping a diary, but it could also be something that is quite visual. So you might want to create a scrapbook and maybe print things that you're reflecting on, maybe do some sketching or some sort of creative art in this scrapbook, so it becomes a very visual thing, but it is something tangible that you can hold and feel. For some people, they'll say, oh, I can't be bothered with that, I just want to do it digitally. Be careful with that word just. The digital version is and could be as detailed and as creative as the paper version. So think about the digital version. How would I like to capture these thoughts? If I'm a visual person, do I want to download some software that enables me to produce maybe some really kind of creative and beautifully attractive, nice, colorful mind maps, for example? Or am I the kind of person who wants to be writing long form narratives? So I'm actually going to create something that reads like a book, reads like a novel. Whatever it is that you choose, the format is your choice. Don't be influenced by me. Don't be influenced by others. This is very much about you creating the format that works for you, because you're going to be using this. This format of your reflective journal is going to be your friend. And it's going to be the place where you can write and produce regularly, openly, and honestly. And this is important. You can decide whether or not this is something that you keep to yourself, super private, or whether you share it with some trusted others. But the openness and the honesty is key to this, because you're not going to get that self-awareness and that kind of real understanding about yourself and develop this emotional intelligence if you hold back. And you might want to be using prompts to guide your reflection. There could be things that you need to put in place around you. So it might be, for example, that you want to sit in a nice deep bath in your bathroom with candles going or some incense burning. Or you might decide you want to sit out in nature. Or you could decide, no, I just need to be in a locked room away from everybody else. Wherever it is and whatever it is, using the right kind of context or scenario is important. Again, I can't stress enough that this is not about squeezing it into a busy day with people bustling around you. Reflective journaling is quiet time, but you can figure out what we mean by quiet. So when you start to kind of use the prompts or start to sort of begin the journey of reflecting, we need to kind of have, I guess, some questions around us. Things like, what did I learn from that scenario or situation? What could I have done better? What would I like to have seen as a different outcome? What would I avoid next time? So using kind of questioning to just begin that narrative. And a lot of this is going to happen in your head. A lot of this is going to be, you'll come up with answers. You might want to just sit with the question and see what comes out. And other times, you might want to actually physically ask your heart, so heart, how do I feel about this? So rather than actually maybe asking the question, what did I think about this? Because that automatically then triggers your head to work as you're reflecting. Maybe ask your heart, how do I feel about this or that? And that opens up then a different channel for reflection. So there's kind of a little interplay here, a little sort of juxtaposition between head and heart, and they can have a little banter if they like. So just kind of see what happens when you use the word feel versus the word think. See if you get a different reaction. See if you get some different ideas and different reflections. But whatever happens, make sure that you capture it in a way that's suitable for you. And also, this is about reviewing and regularly reflecting on your entries. So another step to keeping a reflective journal is kind of going back and reviewing the stuff that you maybe produced yesterday or the day before or last week, or maybe you just occasionally just have a little read through, and that is a reflective time. So you're not necessarily adding to your journal, but you're just spending quality time with stuff that you've previously reflected on. And again, using this balance between what do I think about what I thought there, and actually, how does that make me feel when I read that back again, or when I review what I was thinking in that moment? So this constant little two-way sort of conversation between head and heart is a really key balance. Now, if some of you are already doing journaling, you might have tried one or other. You might have a preference for one or other, but allow the one, if you do have a preference, allow the one that is quieter, is more in the background, to also shine and have its say as part of this. So there are kind of three steps, really, when we do begin reflecting. So you've asked yourself some questions, you've caught caught some ideas in this kind of journey of discovery, if we could call it that. But there will be a bit of a pattern here. Now, I've got a nice little visual on screen here, which is from journey.cloud. And they basically sum up a reflective writing three-step process here. So they're saying step one is the what, step two is the so what, and step three is the what next. And I quite like this because of its simplicity. It allows you to capture a lot of stuff from what it might have been a busy day, or it might be that it's a busy event or a project that you've got going on. And you just think, hold on, I need to just download a whole bunch of stuff before I can really understand how I'm feeling about it, because there's an interplay between that thing and that thing, and this thing's, you know, clouding my judgment on that thing. And so there's a lot of chaos. So what step one does, it helps you to recall an event and write it down descriptively. That's the what. Step two then allows you, having got all of those ideas out onto the page, step two then says, well, so what? And this is the reflection and the interpretation of the event. So the thinking and feeling that I was talking about before. Step three then is the kind of what next. So concluding what you can learn from the event and how you could apply this next time that situation, project, campaign, or event happens. Now, of course, a lot of people think of a reflective journal as being the, this is what happened, this is what I did about it, I'm just going to reflect on it. Yeah, I enjoyed that, great. And they leave it at step two. Step three is really important because it provides that bridge to the next time. So when you read back your reflective journal over time, be it days, weeks, months, or hopefully even into years, you should be able to see a correlation or a sort of a collaboration of ideas here that flow and actually build upon the idea each week as you go forward, because you'll be able to see that, look, 2 months ago, I was writing about this topic and that's how it made me feel. And now as a result of changing it and doing it this way and building upon it and doing this, look how I feel now, because I've fundamentally changed how I view it. I've potentially reframed how this whole thing works in my life. So the step three, concluding what you learn from your reflection, is really, really important. So maybe in some way, be it a mind map, be it a scrapbook, or be it a sort of a step-by-step journal, maybe you break it down into maybe three different sections as you go. And that might also be really interesting. There's a few prompts again at this stage. If you're thinking, okay, Neil, I get the idea. I could create a lovely environment. I could begin to think about my day, but I need a bit more help about some of the kind of questions I'd ask, because this is brand new to me. So here's some ideas for some questions. What makes me or this situation unique? Who supported me and means a lot to me, and why in this particular situation? So bringing, you know, the concept of relationships or collaboration or teamwork into play here. You might decide you want to actually write this, not in the present time, but actually write it to your younger self, or even, and this would be an interesting one, to your older self. In other words, here I am in this moment of time, in the present, and actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to write this reflection as though I'm talking to my older self, because I want to manifest something that's actually a little bit different in the future. So I'm going to project forward and actually write to myself in a year's time. And that might actually then, again, tap into parts of your brain that open up a load of creativity that otherwise you wouldn't see. You can also ask the question, you know, how does this reflection help my well-being, my development, and actually not just mine, because I serve in the role that I have or in my sort of place in life, I serve those around me. How does it impact on them? How does this reflection change who I am? And then by the very nature of domino effect, have a knock-on effect to others. So quite a profound thing there if you started to include other people in this conversation that you're having internally. Another one that's a really interesting one is the kind of the energetic flow of your reflection. How does this make me feel? Does it make me feel lifted? So do I feel a lifting of the energy within myself, or do I feel weighed down when I think of this concept or this project or this person or this thing that I'm reflecting on? Where does my energy move? It probably won't be neutral. And you know this thing, you know, when you look at your email inbox and you see an email from a certain person and you get that feeling. So it could be a, oh, great, look, there's an email from that person. Or it could also be a, oh, there's that person again, another email from them. It's that feeling of lifted or weighed down, using your reflective journal to see how it makes you feel physically. So I've talked about listening to your heart, but there's also a place here for when you're reflecting, listening to your body. Do you get a bodily reaction to that particular thought or that particular feeling or that particular situation? That in itself could also be really interesting, because if there's an interplay here between the body, between the mind and between the heart, that is going to affect your well-being. That is going to affect how committed you feel to the things that you're committing to change in the future, because all three things in an ideal world need to align. Your heart needs to be happy. Your body needs to be happy, and your mind needs to have bought into this too. So the fact that you're recognizing this and going inward as part of this self-awareness and self-reflection is a really, really important thing to notice how it feels within your body, lifted or weighed down. Also, you can start to produce lists within the reflection. So, for example, if you were thinking about a particular person, for example, because you're reflecting on your relationship with them, this could be a work colleague, could be a line manager, could be somebody in your private life, list 10 things about this person that make you smile. You can do the same thing with a project or an event or a campaign. Listing 10 things that make you smile is a really interesting thing to experience. And yeah, the first three or four are going to be easy, but push it. You know, there's a lot of people who have done research on this concept of creating lists. And when you start to push yourself really, really hard, you start to get to item kind of 7, 8, 9. When you get to about number 10, there's some really meaningful stuff that if you didn't push yourself hard, you'd miss out on. And of course, the big question is, what did I learn most that I'll use next time? So when you're creating that scrapbook or that list, making sure you really highlight the real highlight. So maybe you're putting highlighter pen over it or putting stars around it or something, just so that if you happen to skim read your reflective journal over the last sort of few entries that you've done, you would be able to sample and experience again the really, really key headlines and really key things. So it is about just stopping. It is about pausing. It is about decompressing from your day by journaling the ups and downs. You know, there's lots of different models, lots of different templates out there. But I would say it's all about eventually having done these summarizing of the way that it feels, the way that you're thinking, the way that your body reacts to this stuff is, could you summarize it in a single word? Could you kind of this whole reflection that you've just done for this particular moment or time or sort of situation, could you actually just use a single word that would bring to life the whole scenario? How you feel, how you think, and what's kind of going on here and what you're learning. Single word, just one. Don't allow yourself a sentence here. But you could, if you then decided it was just too hard because there were just so many more words I wanted to do, you could then summarize, okay, from this reflection, my top three wins are or were 1, 2, 3. And my top three challenges that I want to take forward for myself into the next actions that I do or the changes that I want to instigate are 1, 2, 3. So that constantly there you're summarizing the broader reflection. And this particularly will apply to you if you liked the sound of writing your kind of your sort of, you know, day in the life of, but you're going to do it as almost like as a novel. So there'll be a lot of words, lots of narrative. It's hard to retrace your steps if you do that without doing a summary. So think about your word of the day, think about the top three wins, top three challenges, and see if you can break down the highlight of the highlights in your reflection, because that will give you some semblance of order and some sort of control if you want to come back. And again, plotting the journey sort of over a period of time to see if you can spot any trends as you continue this reflection journal into the future. There's a lot of theory around reflection. So Ryan in 2011 came up with the four R's of reflection: reporting, relating, reasoning, and reconstructing. We've kind of gone through these as we've been sort of talking there. And the one in terms of almost like the hidden one, if you like, at the reporting stage is the responding one. In other words, how did I respond? How would I want to respond differently going forward? The relating one is making the interconnections between the elements of this reflection and seeing, look, when I behave in this way, this kind of happens. Why is that? What would I do differently? So kind of looking for connections in scenarios and situations. You know, if you can't spot them, you do not beat yourself up over this. If you can't spot them for now, you might spot them in the future. The reasoning we've talked about there, listening to head, listening to heart, listening to body, and just looking for those reactions and then going deeper into the why. Why do I feel this way? Why do I think about things in that way? How do I frame stuff differently going forward? And then potentially, and this is the interesting one that Ryan talks about in his big report, and you can see more about this at drawproject.net/reflection if you want to go and look at this particular model in more detail. And the reconstruction phase, i.e. how are you going to take this forward, is you would look to basically almost reconstruct the scenario in your head. So you could do some scenario planning or some role playing, again, just in your head. So if you find that having maybe delivered a webinar or a presentation, you think, you know, next time when I'm reflecting on this, I just think at that midpoint, when I do a certain thing and I tend to find I do it all the time, I'm going to reframe that. Midpoint, I'm going to reconstruct it, and I'm going to practice and build good new habits. And then I'm going to role play, I'm going to scenario plan, and I'm going to kind of almost strategically reframe that moment. And I'm going to practice so that when I come to do it in the real world, it's automated, it's already built into what I'm looking to achieve and improve. So that reconstruction is a really nice little idea there, you know, that kind of building the habit around the thing that you're looking to change by constantly reinforcing it. So let's say then at this point, you've been doing a reflective journal for some time. So you've been reflecting, you're learning, you're continuously improving, you've got a smile on your face, you've got a great feeling about how this thing is going because it's adding great value to your world. And then somebody asks you the question, okay, you're doing this reflective journaling, aren't you? Okay, but that's very, very private, isn't it? Kind of, can you show me some evidence of why you're spending all this time doing that? This could be your line manager, could be your partner in life, it could be, you know, anybody in your world. And you will probably find once you start journaling and people start noticing a difference in you, probably for the better. Well, we hope it's going to be for the better, I'm sure it will be. They will start to say, well, can you share something with me about kind of what's going on here? And in steps, the concept of portfolio. Now, when we talk about portfolio aligned with a reflective journal, what we're really talking about is almost like a visual interpretation of the difference between before and after. So the ideal portfolio is A versus B. It's before versus after. It's now versus later. It's something that demonstrates change that you have instigated and the value that you have brought to a situation. So I often use this sort of analogy, and we see this a lot in social media. You see a lot of adverts in social media where they could be for some, say, slimming product, for example, and you see the physical body shot of the person before they take this slimming product, and then you see it You see the person after they've taken this supplement. Now, I'm not here to advocate or pass any judgment on such things. I'm just saying it's a really, really overt expression of before and after. And we've all seen it. So what we're talking about here is the kind of reflective journaling and portfolio version of that. Okay. So we're looking here to create a visual interpretation of the evidence of the change that we're instilling in ourselves as a result of reflectively journaling. And this could come from a whole bunch of different ways that really suit us, but it is going to be quite a visual thing, okay? I would suggest always that a portfolio is a visual thing. Now, you've probably got a CV, curriculum vitae, and you've probably got something like a LinkedIn account. So you're kind of quite used to doing the practicality of a portfolio. In other words, here's my job career kind of timeline. Here's all my work experience. Here's my little bio snapshot. Here's a picture of me. Here's how you contact me. And then everybody feels, you know, quite happy. Oh, yeah, I've got my CV. This is taking things to the next level. Okay. So this portfolio is something that can integrate with your CV. You can use this in any form of career or academic assessment, because this is going to be real tangible evidence. Now, the starting place I always begin portfolio kind of conversations with is to do a search on the search phrase portfolio infographic. Okay, so whichever search engine you have of choice, get into the search bar and put portfolio infographic, and instantly you will get a whole host of different ideas of very visual formats that you can use. And the concept here is infographic. So it's a graphical form of some information that you want to share. So yeah, it's going to be visual. Yes, it's probably going to be colorful. Yes, it will have some data and some numbers. And yes, it will probably have some information in terms of text. And the idea within a portfolio of this kind of nature, which of course it's absolutely logical that this can sit next door to your, or it will work in parallel to your reflective journal. So as you're building your journal, reflecting on things, you can alongside that be building your portfolio of evidence that is more probably for public consumption. So your reflective journal most often is going to be for very kind of private reflection, whereas your portfolio can be for private reflection, but often you're going to want to use this in your apprenticeship assessment, in your sort of course review, whatever it is, and your career development, certainly in annual reviews in work. This would be an amazing thing to bring out and say, look, here's all the value, here's all the before and afters that I've created as we've gone through this last year. Hey, time for a pay rise. You know, that's the concept really behind it. So the big benefits of doing this clearly are pretty obvious. You know, it's showcasing your skills, achievements, and experiences. It is showing and demonstrating with evidence. And this is the key thing here. This is evidence driven. It's not just you saying, hey, I'm creative, or yeah, I'm an innovative person. It's you demonstrating it. And also in demonstration, you can demonstrate your problem solving abilities. You know, if you can show that there was this big challenge at work, or there wasn't enough resource to do that, and look what I did, and look at the outcome, that could go into an infographic. You've got to be creative as to how you produce it, and I'm not here to tell you how to do it, but the concept is problem solving, creativity, innovation. We need to be grasping this and really showcasing what we do. And of course, it provides tangible, trustworthy, real-world evidence of your professional growth and development. So a portfolio is not just, here's what I am, here's who I am. It is, here's who I was, and here's who I'm now becoming. And you could then, in line with the targets or the SMART goals you've set in your portfolio, actually put in something that you want to manifest. So your portfolio might be, here's where I was, here's where I am, and this is kind of where I'm going. Not where I want to get to, but actually where I'm going. So speak in the kind of tense that is, it's already happening. I'm already on this journey, and here's the evidence to show it. And that in itself, can you imagine how that would help you stand out from the crowd in a job application or interview? If you say, look, potential new employer, or look, line manager, this is where I was, this is where I am now, but this is where I'm going. Can you see my timeline? Do you want to be part of this? Do you want to kind of be on the journey with me? Because I'd love to work with you and give you value as I go to this position or this particular place or develop these new projects or products. You know, that would be a very different and very creative, quite a bullish way of, you know, developing a conversation in those scenarios. But what an exciting, fresh new way of doing it. And because everything to the present point is evidence-based, well, who's going to argue that you couldn't continue that journey? So think creatively over the use and the creation and the building of your portfolio, because this is really quite dynamic and exciting stuff. So what are you going to put in it? Again, as we did with the reflective journal, we need a few steps to get us started. So let's determine initially the purpose of the portfolio. Is it for your personal growth? Is it for a job search? Is it to showcase your credentials and your experience at the end of an apprenticeship? Whatever it happens to be, and it could be a combination of all of those things and more, knowing what the purpose is gives you then instantly the target audience in mind. So you know who you're actually creating this for. So the little subtleties of that can then help you to choose what's the format going to be. Is this a physical? And I've seen people literally create scrapbook version portfolios. And of course, if you are a creative and you're actually producing either content or social materials, or you know, you're a sort of digital designer or something like that, there will be a lot of physical stuff that you might want to be creating as part of a physical portfolio. For most of us, probably some sort of digital infographic portfolio is probably adequate, but you've got to decide what is important for you with the target audience in mind for the purposes that you're creating your portfolio. And then begin to gather materials, samples of work, certificates, testimonials, screen grabs, little anecdotal pieces of evidence, that email that somebody sent to you that said, oh my goodness, you really made a difference to our project. That's part of your portfolio. Could you boost that up into being an infographic? Add in the things that you did. And then that lovely little quote at the end you can include. And hopefully if you can get permission from the person, you can include their name. Again, bringing this stuff to life in a real world sense. One of the things, though, that's really important, because as you start to build this, it could be a great big kind of hodgepodge of stuff. There's a lot of ingredients that go into this. So organizing the portfolio by a certain sort of rating or category is a really important thing to do, because this needs to look consistent, probably. So organizing your portfolio either by skill, by the skills that you want to show, by timeline, that could also be interesting and really relevant, or maybe by project. So you kind of group together particular parts of the portfolio into projects, because that's the kind of working that you're doing. So skills, timeline, and project, others are available, but I'd say that's for a starting point to just kind of begin to build the first version or maybe even a draft portfolio to just get into the good habit of doing this. Those are probably three areas you could consider. Of course, just by its nature, this is all about continuously updating it. So once you've, you know, put those steps into place, it is about refining it, fine-tuning it, adding to it. Maybe you create as you get into it, you start thinking, hold on a minute, this is all looking really quite consistent. Maybe I've got a bit of a personal brand here starting to emerge from this, where I can get a certain font or a certain color palette that actually helps me be really consistent. And wow, this is actually like a real portfolio that somebody would really want to showcase and see. Adding these showreel highlights, so the best bits and the best bits to your CV, be it physical CV or maybe your LinkedIn profile, is also really important. Again, we're thinking here at a public sense, the stuff that we're producing here. So the reflective journal is that kind of internal reflection of what's important. And this is your public view. So think about bringing the real showreel highlights of your portfolio. So the portfolio could be very, very extensive, and not every element of that you possibly would want to be sort of showcasing at an interview or an assessment, but the showreel highlights, almost the best bits of the good bits, are the things that you then want to bring out and really start to talk to people about and share. tips for really making this fly is, you know, be honest and authentic, again, both in reflection and in your portfolio. You know, if you can, if you're willing to, and if you're happy to be vulnerable a bit, seek feedback from others to help improve the skills and the portfolio and the way that you create it. If you have some career goals, use your reflection or portfolio to track your progress on your career path with real examples. Because a lot of us say, oh, yes, in the future, I want to be X, Y, or Z. But actually, the progress that you're making towards that can get a little bit clouded by the noise of every day. Obviously, the journaling can help us to keep on track, but the portfolio as well gives us those real world examples to really kind of back up the fact that we are making great progress. And also, as we create our portfolio, we will undoubtedly, a little bit like the reflecting journal, is we will open ideas and opportunities here to learn and grow. So maybe new courses, maybe little top-ups of information or experience that we had in the past, which we need to refresh. So be always on the lookout when you're developing your portfolio for new things that you could learn, even if it is just a little short, bite-sized tutorial, all the way through to a brand new course. You know, all of these things can add to your growth opportunities here. And as I say, it is all about very much keeping this very, very fresh and keeping it alive. Do not let either of your reflective journal or your portfolio gather dust on the shelf or in some sort of folder on your computer deep, deep down in your archives. This is stuff that you want to really keep alive and really open. And that is really important. There's a little secret tip I just want to share with you now. I was talking to some people earlier today, actually, and I thought this would be really timely to bring this into this kind of reflective journaling and portfolio idea. The strongest portfolios are the ones that are aligned with your Ikigai. Okay. What is Ikigai, Neil? I often hear asked. So Ikigai is your kind of real sweet spot in your life, things that allow you to live and breathe every moment in that kind of almost like that really, really good balance. From a business perspective, it's what's our business really, really good at? What excites us in our business? What do we get rewarded for in our business? And, you know, what does the world around our business need us to serve them with? And the thing that sits in the middle is the one that answers all those things. From a personal perspective, as we reflect, you can think, does this thing that I'm reviewing and reflecting on, does it reflect my Ikigai? Does it reflect what I love and feel most passionate about in life? Does it reflect actually my core strengths and competencies, the things that I'm really, really good at? Does it reflect the value that I can bring to the things that the world around me needs? And can I be rewarded for it? Not just financially rewarded, but can I be respected? Can I be valued for this thing? And if your portfolio supports that Ikigai, the thing you love, are rewarded for, the world needs, and you're actually good at, that can be something that really is a North Star that you aim for to build evidence around and you journal against as you go forward, building the great habits day to day as you create your reflective journal and build upon it and as you gather the evidence for your portfolio. And that is a real secret little tip that not many people are using, but those that are really finding they'll manifest and attract and spot examples of all the things around them that are contributing to them just living in that little perfect kind of sweet spot of balance in pretty much every moment. And so it is possible. And you'll be amazed once you start doing this reflective journal, you start building your portfolio. You'll be amazed at how many other things that you spot around you that would have otherwise gone missing. And all those things combine together to give you opportunities to live a better life, to be more successful in however you define it. So to sum up, to bring this one full circle, keeping a reflective journal and building a portfolio really are essential elements for building a personal and professional career and lifestyle that you really do aspire to. They do help you pause and reflect on your experience. They pause and reflect to help you learn from your mistakes at the same time as showcasing your accomplishments. And ultimately, they are a really, really powerful tool that people who are the most happy on this planet, the most successful in however they themselves define success, they are all people who will constantly and consistently be reflecting, be journaling, and be using a portfolio for developing not only professionally, but also personally. So I wish you every success as you build this great habit going forward of reflective journaling and portfolio creation.